We're at 128.
128.
Affirmative.
There you are.
Affirmative, Captain.
There you are. You're on.
Now I got it open through my Gmail.
Gmail. Gmail. Good.
Gmail.
Gmail. Well, that still exists.
What, Gmail?
Yeah, you know, the way Google's going, they'll take away that, too.
Yeah, probably. No, they use that to probe. Yeah, everybody complains about NSA. I think
I thought Google knows more about aliens. What's up with anal probing?
That'll be next for Google.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, we can't wait to complain about the heat. Michael was down two vehicles, and Wilson has a boo-boo! All that and more on Late Night! Come on! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire,
February 9th,
here's Joel, Barry, and Michael!
Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 128 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it's gotten quite a bit snowier since the last time we talked. I'm Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where it is uncannily more snowy here now than where you are, Barry, this is Joel.
And from still snowy, it's and a lot colder. It's Michael, the Virtual Youper, somewhere in the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And the lake has frozen over, I understand, so you could walk to Canada now from your backyard.
Be a long walk.
Chilly walk.
But you could do it. Do they set up extra border patrols when the lake freezes over like that?
Well, you know, it is a little thin in places, so I wouldn't advise it. That's about 50 miles. Actually, it's a little longer than that. It's 50 miles from here to Isle Royale.
I know they showed a satellite picture, and that was pretty awesome. There was like one little section in the middle of Lake Michigan, I think it was, that wasn't frozen. That was actually water. Yeah.
It actually, I think it's down a little bit. It was up to like 93-95%. Now I think it's in the upper 80s again. There are small pockets of water around.
Oh.
But when the lake freezes over like that, the lake effect slows down. But with the lake effect out of the picture, we still had about 15 inches of snow in the last week. But it's cold. It's not too bad tonight. I think it's like zero. But it was 5-10 below for most of the day yesterday and the day before. And we have seen extended, you know, and this is without the wind chill. We haven't seen an extended periods like this in a while. And now my neighbors are starting to have problems with pipes freezing. And the Gazinta freezing is a problem. When the Gazauta freezes, which is starting to happen, life gets really interesting. I'm fine.
Good.
I haven't had any problems here at the Youper complex here. The compound.
The compound, yes.
Make sure the compound.
Stays nice and warm. Well, we're up to a grand total for this season of about 25 inches. So where are you now?
We're closing in at 250.
Jeez.
That's about 20 plus feet of snow, folks.
Yes, yeah, so we have the same number you do without the zero.
Yeah. Whatever New Hampshire has, just add a zero. That's what Copper Harbor has.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Go big or go home in Copper Harbor.
Yeah. And speaking of...
And drop about 30 degrees from the temperature. All right, what are you guys at right now?
Oh, let me check. Outside right now, it says it's 32 degrees. We actually warmed up this week a little bit.
About 22 here.
Because I was looking at my live one, which is right outside the window. I don't know what it is at the airport, because personally, I don't know anybody who lives at the airport, so...
Except for the airport man.
Right.
The guy with a shopping cart. And
exactly. Hey, I might like to throw a sidebar note, if I may interrupt. Michael, your internet seems to be absolutely splendid.
Oh, don't say that so early in the show.
I did do some network debugged yesterday to say, hey, you know, guys, it's been real crappy on Saturdays. Do you think we can check to make sure all the routers have been reset before the show? So I think they have.
Oh, good.
It's we're streaming video.
It's busy. Good. It's busy in the harbor.
I mean,
There's people all over the place.
I mean, we'll tell you why later on, why it's busy all over the internet.
It's busy in the harbor.
Oh, in the harbor.
I mean, the town is packed, yeah. I mean, there's people staggering down the streets. They're having a good old time. It's
God bless them.
You betcha.
Yeah, plus a certain certain show we'll talk about later was released yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But I got to tell you, with the wild weather, I finally got my chains, and I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to put these chains on my John Deere tractor. And I did exactly what they said. I spread them out behind. I backed the tractor up halfway onto them. And the part where you're supposed to take the end and slide it over the ample room that's between the fender and the tire, the smooth grass tire, over to connect them, that doesn't work with my tractor. I've got the extra large nubby tires. That leaves me about an inch and a half between it and the fender, which I can barely get my hand into. And, you know, those cross chains get caught on every frickin' nub as you're trying to bring that over. And chains are heavy.
Yes, they do.
Chains are heavy, so it's not like you can, and it's not like I had a lot of room. So the first one, I cussed a lot, and I got it on. Doing it their way, and then the second way, actually I watched another YouTube video where a guy was putting chains on a John Deere, but it was a large John Deere tractor, and he did it much differently. He actually draped it over the top of the wheel.
Yep, and then drove forward a little bit.
Yes, and then connected it up. Now, I tried to do that, but again, I only had like an inch and a half between the fender and the tire. So even trying to drape it over the top was damn near impossible. So I ended up figuring out my own way where I kind of, in the back where there's more room between the fender, I would drape it over the tire that way, kind of make sure it's nudged between a couple of bumps, you know, nubs on the tire. And then I slowly drove forward until I got the thing all the way around the tire, and then I connected it up. Now, I got to say, there's a lot more traction, and I'm glad I did it, but about halfway through the snow blowing experience, one of the chains fell off, and guess which one fell off?
The drive tire one?
The
right one?
The one where I did it, I put it on the suggested way by John Deere, which, you know, drove it over. So I must not have lined it up too well. The other one's still on and great. So I said, well, I took it off. I said, well, I'm not taking the other one off. So I was snow blowing with one chain. it's the left tire. So yeah, I think it was the right one. Although I was hitting the traction button quite a bit. While snow blowing.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have tensioner? Do you have a tensioner band?
I don't, and I'm thinking about getting one. Because.
Yeah, once you let. It will keep them from walking off the tire.
Yeah.
When you get the chain actually around there, and then you have that tensioning rubber band with the S hooks on it.
Yeah.
It'll keep it taut, keep it in place. Yeah, it works good.
Yeah, they had that on a couple of different ones, and I said, you know what? I got to get one of those, or get me a couple of those. Yep. But yeah, it was not a fun thing. I was doing.
You can cheat. You don't have to buy that band, by the way. You can just use a real short, elasticated, what do you call them? Bungee cords.
Yeah, bungee cords.
If you could use bungee cords.
Yeah.
Some good ones.
Yeah. They said the only thing the video I watched said about those is the bungee cords eventually stretch, where if you get one of those elastic ones, they were showing one that had it was actually a solid the material was solid, but they had springs mm-hmm. off of it, and they said
yep.
the springs work a lot better because they last longer.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. I don't
know. But we'll check it out. But I think I'm gonna get a invest in a couple of those.
Tractor Supply will have them.
Yeah, I know they'll definitely have them. So, I'll be making a trip there soon. But yeah, so, and of course, if you are our regular listeners, know we missed last week. My fault, sorry. I got the flu. And boy, did I get the flu.
How dare you. Laid you down hard.
It was, and it was interesting because it was, well, Wednesday I had a snow day. Because we got snow pretty bad. This was a week ago. And so I stayed home.
Not Copper Harbor bad.
No, not Copper Harbor bad. New Hampshire bad. And so I stayed home Wednesday because of the snow. And then I woke up Thursday with light bulbs. You know, that feeling like flash bulbs went off in your eyes. And I thought I was low blood sugar, and so I went down and checked my blood, and I wasn't. So I said, uh-oh, that can only mean one other thing then when I get like that, and that means a migraine's coming. And I wasn't feeling quite right like when I'm getting a migraine. And then the migraine hit. And so my wife calls off and tells my boss, I'm not coming in because I have a migraine right now. But I think the migraine was the beginning of the flu. Because I got the flu, I mean, all of a sudden, and it was the kind that hits your chest. It didn't go into my nose at all. It just stayed in my chest and my joints. And mm-hmm. here I was with this migraine, and all of a sudden, I'm coughing because it got into my chest. And I don't know whether you've ever experienced coughing while having a migraine at the same time. But that's what I was experiencing for a couple hours. And then the migraine finally went away, but yeah, the flu part didn't. So I was out Thursday and Friday and pretty much Saturday and Sunday too last week with the flu. And I got back to work on Monday and made it to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it was a short week. It was it's a virtual Friday week. So, but Thursday we got this big storm. So I had another snow day on Thursday. So, yeah, I don't think I've worked a full week yet this year.
Really? Yes.
Snow and sickness and between my wife and I, it's been. and Joel's doing show and tell on the video. As we're doing an audio podcast, what the hell was that?
Well, it's an articulated
C-3PO.
It's an articulated.
Looks like C-3PO.
Very close to it.
Why do you have that?
So you can learn how to hit people in the vital spots, so they can stop them dead in their tracks. I don't know. I just have one.
Okay, and I warned Joel and Michael, you guys won't hear it. I'm using my cough button, but I still have it in my chest, and so I do have to cough every now and then. I'm using the cough button here, but unfortunately, it doesn't stop it from those guys hearing it. So, anyway, and speaking of sick, Joel, you were sick too for a while.
A little bit. I thought was me probably just being a whiny little girl and feeling sorry for myself. I decided at the convincing of my beautiful bride to make a doctor's appointment. This was over the weekend, last weekend. And I went in to see the doc, who then informed me after several the stethoscope on the back and listening to the lungs, and then forced me to said, you need a nebulizer treatment like now. I said, I don't have asthma. They said, you're getting one. So I'm sitting here with the nebulizer tubey thing and breathing that crap in, and I have to admit, boy, I was breathing better after it. And then they said, now it's time for your chest x-ray. I said, what for? They said, because we think you got pneumonia. You got liquid rattling around in your left lung. And I said, nah. Well, it turns out I did. And I just thought I felt like shit for no reason.
Oh, wow. So what do they do? Do they turn you upside down?
Well, you would think they would, but what they ended up doing, I went in with exactly the same symptoms you did. I said, I get this funny feeling in my chest, and every joint in my body is screaming in pain. Yeah. And when I say screaming, I mean, if you did a full body workout, now let's face it, I'm a middle-aged, bald, fat man who doesn't exercise regularly. Now, if you put me in an aerobics class, I'm not going to fare too well. and that feeling multiplied to a factor of 10 is what I felt in every joint. And all I had done the day before was sit and watch TV. Mm-hmm. So they said, yeah, here you go. You got pneumonia. And how do you feel? I said, well, I feel like the same I did as before, but I can breathe better. So they put me on, you know, the Z-Pak. Wide spectrum antibiotic and cough medicine, and lo and behold, within a day and a half, I really started feeling better.
Good.
And I still, as you can hear, ladies and gentlemen, all three of you that listen to the show, have a wicked nasal congestion and you know, that sort of thing. But I'm trying to kill those germs with rum. I think that'll work. That's my next course of action there. Pneumonia, and that's the first time I've ever had it. I've never had walking pneumonia ever, and you know what? It's not a lot of fun. I can actually say, I now really, when people say, you know, when I start hearing I'm achy all over, I have a whole new respect for that phrase.
I know, and I gotta say that I had a flu shot this year too, so.
I don't get the flu shot because every time I get the flu shot, I get the flu. Wow. Every year, last time I had it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And every year before then, each year I got the flu shot, I ended up with the flu that laid me out for 6-7 days.
Well, all I can say is this year, I don't think the CDC, I'm assuming it's the CDC that picks the strains of viruses that go into the flu shot. They did a lousy guess this year.
They guessed wrong.
Because I know a lot of people that have had this same thing you and I've had, and it's really making its way around. And
well, I'm convinced that I have a theory. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I have a theory. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have or work with anybody that has teenage children, see, public school is actually a secret military Department of Defense petri dish. And what they do is they make a little light grade strain or something, and they drop it into the high school. Now, let's face it, teenage kids and young kids don't exactly have all the common sense in the world not to be drinking out of the same soda can as each other or sneezing on one another. So then they share it. Each one of those wonderful little cherubs brings it home to mom and dad. Of course, they sneeze on mom and dad. Mom and dad get it. Well, but mom and dad don't know, and then they bring it to work with them.
Yeah.
And now you, who has no kids in high school, walks in and works beside your buddy, and hey, let's go over to the water bubbler and get water, and we'll talk about last night's episode of whatever it was. And lo and behold, you end up picking up Mr. Bug, and I think they track it.
Yeah, I think so,
just to see how fast you can get it across the country, because I swear to God, as soon as kids start school, someone at home ends up sick, and as soon as there's a new bug, I swear to God, schools, public schools are the place to go to catch it. Yeah. They're worse than hospitals.
And our place is even worse, because we got these hand readers to get into certain parts of the building, certain rooms. And so, you know, you got everybody coughing and sneezing and, you know, wiping their nose and everything else. And then everybody uses the same hand readers to get through.
Yeah.
So.
And then put your booger encrusted, German crusted hand right on the hand reader. And then the guy behind you can't figure out why. Yeah. The dreaded Lurgy.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're all trying to get over that and the snow, and Michael's just hoping, you know, it gets above zero.
Yeah. Yeah, I can actually say when I had sent over that screenshot, you know, and I don't know why, Michael, it just popped in my head, but when I saw all of our towns, and I'm like, all of them are about 28, 30, 28, 30, 1, 29, 30, and I went, what are these
things?
Exactly.
That was the high, 1 degree.
I was shocked. I'm like, boy, one of these things is just absolutely not like the other.
Well, I love Barry's comment, too.
Why had to be a smartass, that's all. All the towns were like 28, 27, 28. I think Barty's town was 20, 27 or something like that. And, you know, Copper Harbor, of course, was 1. But then Wilmington was 30. So I said, wow, I can't believe Wilmington made it into the 30s, you know.
That's Wilmington's just outside of Boston where I work, so for all three of those folks who don't know. But, so it's I saw that, and I'm like, wow, it's 1 degree where Michael's neck of the woods. I'm like, God, that must suck. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking it's 30 now, and I'm like, it's kind of nice out. I mean, I'm outside with just like a fleece jacket, and I was warm.
Well, the ironic part was is it actually felt pretty warm when you – posted that because we didn't have like 40 mile an hour winds at the time.
Yeah.
That's been pretty consistent this year too.
The wind is your enemy. So.
Oh yeah, I mean it hasn't been helping the heating situation at all.
Right. Yeah, and you guys have the propane shortage there. It's freaking ridiculous.
Still.
Those prices are starting not as bad as your prices, but the propane prices did go up on the East Coast too now. Because of the shortage out in the Midwest, so
we're climbing out here. Mm. We're not at that rationing level yet, as unfortunate it is for you folks, but it's climbing. And
our temperature should be going up. So,
it's going to get cold for us, from what I was hearing on the news tomorrow and Monday. But by late Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to climb up into the 40s.
Good.
Yeah. Well, where we got to, and it's not in the show notes, but I'm gonna go there. For those that don't listen to the podcast that shall not be named, and if you're not listening, why? But we had two issues going on, and I had been documenting that on the podcast that shall not be named as well. But there was a regulator problem in the house, and normally, we go through between a half and in a real heavy day, 1% of propane in the tank a day. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it was cold out, but I've been complaining to the propane company for months now, literally months, that there's something wrong. We normally fill up in November, and we're good through spring.
Mm-hmm.
We intentionally size the tank for that because it's difficult to get back there for us, much less a propane tank, truck.
Right.
And I watched this go through 3 to 5%. At one point, it was about 10 below and about 40 mile an hour winds, and wind chill was, 0 degrees Kelvin, whatever. But, I mean, it wasn't what go big, or go small, whichever way you look at it. But we were going through 3, 5, 7% a day. And I'm like, holy crap, we're in trouble here. And we're on the Uber economy up here, and I've been paying off the propane, but the way they work up here is you pay off the bill before they bring anything else, which I've always been okay with. But I wasn't planning on settling up the bill so quickly. Much less paying $5 a gallon for, I just put 100 gallons in because there's no way I'm going to fill the tank at 400 gallons at $5 a gallon.
Ouch.
But the other problem was is we get a 1,000-foot driveway. We've had 20-plus feet of snow. Mm-hmm. And even with my wife's Cummins diesel going up and down that driveway, we had 6 to 8 inches of mat on that driveway.
Wow.
And
68 inches or 68 feet?
Six to 8 inches. But still, almost a foot of mat.
All right.
Now, there's one thing for my wife's Cummins diesel, which is a heavy truck going back and forth. It's a whole other story to bring a propane truck back 1,000 feet into that. If it sinks through the mat, it's going to take a tank retriever to get it out of that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm looking at the situation. We were at 20% going into the weekend. By Monday, we were down to 9%.
Ooh.
And I'm shutting down the water heater down to just lukewarm. I'm doing everything I can. I've got electric heaters in there supplementing. My neighbor, Marty, bless his heart, came out with his big John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked our driveway all Tuesday afternoon, got it down to about 1 to 2 inches of mat, and widened it all the way back.
Nice.
And I had to leave town Tuesday morning to go work because this is really expensive. I couldn't postpone that trip.
Right.
Between that and a couple other things. Got to
have billable hours, man.
Yeah, I need the hours. I'm a contract engineer. So I'm like, hi, honey, I got to go. If the house gets down to like 3%, here's the name to call. He's going to drain the water. And the guy from the propane company changed the delivery for the entire company for the two-county area up here because he normally doesn't come up till Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Shifted everybody around so he could come up on Wednesday. We were at 6%, and he backed the truck down the 1,000-foot driveway. And it's not a straight shot. It's, well, you've heard me walk it, as we know.
Yeah.
There's lots of turns and twists, and he backed it all the way to the tank, put the 100 gallons in, which I felt silly for asking, although I think the max they can put in right now is 200 for that particular service.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changed the regulator on the house. Oh, what a difference.
Really?
The furnace is burning bright blue hot. Water heaters bright blue hot.
Yep.
The oven still hosed. I think the oven got toasted when we tried to clean it with the regulator being bad. We're down to about 0.5% a day of usage.
Oh, that's good. Right.
And that's what the, you know, one degree highs. So things are looking better. We're gonna have to keep the driveway in really good shape, and by the end of the month I got to still make a call whether to put another $500 worth of, you know, fuel in.
Yeah.
Or hopefully the price is going to start to drop.
Yeah. Right.
Hopefully.
Seriously. But that's been one of the minor things going on in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we missed too to talk about, and it's old news now, but I don't know how many of you guys got a chance to watch the Super Bowl, but it sucked. Didn't watch it. You didn't miss much.
Nope. Didn't. I always watch the Super Bowl at your house every year, but this year you had the flu.
Yeah, I know.
So obviously I didn't come up and watch the Super Bowl, so therefore I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it was not a good game. That's for sure. And I wasn't sick yet. You had the flu. On Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you're the one that
had the walking
flu.
Pneumonia. He just didn't know it yet.
Good thing I guess I didn't come over.
Because then I could have blamed you, but I got it anyway.
We'd have created some mutant hybrid strain between the two of us.
I think we finally found a real human virus that can travel through the internet.
It is. It's called the QRM flu virus.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, but if you didn't, I mean, oh, God, that was a horrible game. So mismatched. And all I can say is I'm beginning to agree with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. I think those games are, you know, bread and circus, and it's all about keeping the masses occupied and thinking about something else because... God, that seems so rigged. That game, it was
a little too contrived.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like the Broncos came out and it was like they weren't even ready to play the frickin' game. I mean, they were just horrible. And then they were moping around and it was almost like, oh, okay, well, here's how we want this outcome to come. Broncos, you lose. And then they came out, and they were like, oh, geez, we have to lose, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I'm beginning to believe that it's all rigged, and it's all to keep the masses happy with something else. But and speaking of the masses, of course, also what happened in the past 2 weeks is Jay Leno retired from The Tonight Show again. This time probably for good. And of course, that was right before the Olympics started. We're in the middle of NBC Olympic coverage right now. Yawn. But Jimmy Fallon starts the new is the host of the new Tonight Show that starts actually Monday night. This coming Monday night is the first new Tonight Show from New York with Jimmy Fallon, and they premiered his logo for the new Tonight Show with the Tonight Show with our starring Jimmy Fallon, and it looks awfully. Awfully familiar, the logo. It's a...
Yeah, I was going to ask, have the late night QRM lawyers sent the cease and desist yet?
I don't know whether I have a, you know, it's funny. It's like I live and let live as far as I'm concerned, but watch, you know, somewhere down the road here, maybe a week or two from now, we'll probably get lawyers from NBC telling us to cease and desist. You know,
yours looks better. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, they went with the flat look. You know, that's all the rage now. So
it's an Iowa 7 look. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but still, if you looked at them, I said, huh. But thank God we have prior art in case they do try to come in and shut us down.
Yeah, art's been around for a long time.
Fight! We can get some publicity. Get up to like 10 listeners.
Yeah.
We're fighting with the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'll get us some.
Did you ever? Oh, I'm sorry. He's gone now, so.
Yeah, that's right. He's no longer. But, you know, maybe we should sue them and just, you know, let them settle, because I'm sure they'd rather just settle with us and pay us what
don't
they think is
up.
What they would think consider to us be a, you know, a small pittance, get rid of us, and of course we would think it was a whole lot of money. So. let me think about that. But no, I'd have to hire a lawyer, and then he'd take 3/4 of it probably. So
yeah, but you still start off with something. You end up with something.
Yeah, but is it worth it? You know.
No.
If you end up with, you know, $10.
No, well, not unless it's $100,000.
Yeah.
If it's $100,000, the lawyer takes his 25-35% at a percent.
Yeah.
And then it's worth it.
Oh, well. Oh, excuse me. I didn't hit the cough button on that.
How's
one.
That song go? Nothing from nothing is nothing.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So, but I just thought that
what
was pretty.
That? Was that a hook?
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have
something.
If you want to stay, something. Or if you want to be with me. What the hell song is that? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Yeah. I'll Google that.
Yeah, Google that. and now I'm also cursing a game that I downloaded on both my Nexus 7 and my iPhone. It's been around for quite a while. It's a game called Clash of Clans. And curse the Clash of Clans because it's one of those ones where you got to build yourself a little... village and, you know, raise warriors. And it's one of those timer games, you know. I call it a timer game because everything you do takes time, you know. It's like, oh, you have to upgrade this. Okay, send your little worker out there, and they have a cute little animation, and he's busy upgrading this, but, it, you know, you see the little timer there that says, oh, you know, it won't be ready for 5 hours, and, you know, then you got to collect gold pieces and elixir, and you build your armies, and then you can go attack, and after your attack, you go back, and you look at your riches, but then you got to build fighters again and stuff like that. So it's one of those, it's not fast-paced, that's for sure. Oh, and it's one of those ones mm-hmm. that you can go in and pay if you're not patient, you can go in and buy gold and jewels and things like that, but I'm a very patient person. I can play this thing free.
In-game purchases. Both my kids have played this.
Yeah. But I'm having fun with it. It's, you know, it's one of those things, and it sends you notices, you know. It's like, you know, I kick off a bunch of stuff to happen, and then I just, you know, shut it down, and then every once in a while I get a notification. My army's ready to go attack. So then I'll go in and attack, and then I'll come back and set up things and collect all my elixir and gold and set the workers off to build some other things up, and then I shut it down. So, you know, but it's one of those addictive games. You just play it now and then, and it's fun. I would give it a good rating. Just don't be one of those people that buys stuff. Be patient. It'll take forever to play, but who cares? You know, when you think about, I'm going to actually spend real money to buy fake gold. No, don't do that.
No.
No, and I haven't started even playing online with other people yet. I've just kept it a solo game right now, where I'm just going out and solo attacking the little other neighborhoods and stuff like that, which I think are computer generated. I don't think they're owned by anybody. So I don't know. I don't know whether I'm going to get into. I guess eventually you have to start fighting with friends or other clans or whatever. But I'm happy doing it the way I am. But yeah, it does occupy some of my time now. Matter of fact, right before I came up to the show here to do the show, it notified me that my armies are ready to go. And my elixir was completed. Well, upgrade was completed, so I've got a little worker bee that's sleeping in his little hut right now until I tell him to go improve something else. So, but it's a fun little game. And then there's all the flap about Flappy Birds.
Oh yeah. Guys, I have got it. I can add to this. Let me know when it's my turn.
Okay.
Well, go for it.
Well, all right. Well, a week and a half ago, my daughter came home and was playing Flappy Birds on her Android telephone. I don't know what kind she has. HTC something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and I'm watching her at the dining room table, and she's doing this. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm playing Flappy Bird. And I said, what the hell is a Flappy Bird? So she shows me the game. And it was cute. And she said, you want to try it. So I downloaded it to my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I played Flappy Bird pretty much that afternoon. I hated it because I could never get past four. I got up to four little areas. She's like, oh, I'm up to 10 or 11. And I'm like, I get to four, boom, five, boom. No, not five, four, three, one, one, four, one, one, one. And I got frustrated. I said, ah, screw this. So I deleted it off my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my daughter came home yesterday, and she said, oh, I put my phone on eBay. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I put my phone on eBay because it had Flappy Birds on it. She said, the bidding for my phone was up to $2,000 before eBay pulled it, because they pulled any electronic device that had Flappy Bird on it.
That's a dangerous thing to do anyway, but go ahead.
But nevertheless, yeah. She said, my phone was up to $2,000 and then eBay pulled anything that had Flappy Bird on it because of the story that you're about to tell with regards to the creator of it. And she said, I almost called you. I said, well, why is that? She said, because iPhones were going for $10,000 that had Flappy Bird on them. I said, I'd have sold this sucker in a heartbeat.
It's not yours, though.
But I erased it.
It's not your phone. It's not yours.
I don't care.
The issue is, you know, if you sync your phone before you take it off the phone,
yeah,
the app is saved on your MacBook.
Right,
you can reload it.
I didn't.
Now, the eBay issue, and am I jumping in here on you, Barry?
No. Go ahead. No, it's your story.
No, okay. So, anyhow, the eBay issue is the company policy with eBay is that you need to reset the phone, the factory defaults before, or any electronic device has to be reset the factory default before you exchange it. That's part of the eBay policy.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't sell it on Craigslist or something like that for those prices, though.
Or Amazon.
Or Amazon, yes.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah.
What idiot moron, pathetic person would spend $10,000 on a phone to get a frickin' game that just frustrates the hell out of you?
Well, yeah, I think it's all hype, actually. I don't know if anybody's actually spending that kind of money.
Really, if you've got that much money to spend on a frickin' app on a phone, then you got way too much money.
Well, it's because the writer of Flappy Bird offed himself.
No, he didn't off himself. It's like he took it off. He didn't off himself. He took the game down because he was too frustrating. And it was, as he says, ruining his life, supposedly. And nobody knows for sure why he exactly did it, except for he made a ton of money on it already. He was a Vietnamese guy, and the amount of money he made, he can live. He's set in Vietnam.
And he hasn't closed down. He just took this particular app.
He had another one that he wrote before that's just like it, but it wasn't called Flappy Bird.
Yeah,
it was called something else. He had written it before. Flappy Bird. Cool. I don't remember what the heck it was called.
But I just don't know.
I saw the story. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barry.
I just don't know what goes through people's heads that would actually increase a frickin' eBay auction up to $10,000 for a phone because it has a 99... No, wasn't it a free app on it?
Free.
It was free. It's free. Yeah. Originally, it was free. I don't know. I deleted it because I thought the game was stupid after a while, and I'm like, you know what? I got other fun games to play.
Yeah. I had never loaded it, and I just happened to catch the story last weekend when he announced to the press that he was going to pull the game in 22 hours. And being a developer, I thought, well, you know, I can download this thing, back it up to my MacBook, and I've got it. And with the Apple policy, I could, you know, you can put it up to 5 devices in your family. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, it's a lot of hype here, but I'll just download it so I can look at it later. And sure enough, he pulled the app. I didn't think to download it for the Nexus. Mm. But that would have been interesting because the game is incredibly hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of it. It's hard because it's not really sophisticated.
No,
you don't have a lot of control on this thing. And it took me forever to get to, like, 2. And I finally, you know, and it's one of these things where I would play it for like a minute or two and then you stop because you start getting frustrated, you don't get better.
No.
Yeah.
And it's a rhythm thing. And it's also, it's dependent on the processor speed and everything around your phone. Mm-hmm. And even though the app's been pulled, the in-app advertising is still going. And an iPhone 4, when that ad drops down to the top, it changes the cadence of the game and you crash.
Yeah.
Now, I was really proud of myself because I got myself up to 10. And wow. Mark goes, oh, cool, you know, I haven't gotten past 4. And my oldest son, David, goes, yeah, my high is 23.
Of course.
But he's playing it on the iPad 3 with a whole lot more processing power than my phone is. It's interesting. It's a very simple game. It just went viral. And it's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
He released it last March.
Right. And it didn't go viral until like November, I guess it started picking up and popping.
And then it really kicked in December. The estimates are he was making $50,000 a day in just advertising. Hmm. Now, the big thing that's, if you listen to some of the tech shows out there, I mean, there was all kinds of things he was being accused of. Well, crap, it's a simple game. I don't care what you accuse him of. The only one that really does seem to come out is the initial reviews all of a sudden started around December, and they were all surprisingly similar. So they were accusing him of, you know, of hiring reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. And I don't care. I mean, it became games tend to go hockey puck up and hockey puck down.
Yep.
It's strange that he didn't hold out long enough to have one of the other companies buy him out. Although if he had a month of $50,000 a day of advertising,
yeah, that's a lot.
Even Adam Curry and John Dvorak would be happy with that.
Yeah, really. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money even for this country. Yeah,
more or less,
you know, if you live
20
in
days, it's $1 million.
Jeez, that's incredible. Well, it's over. I saw the video of it and people trying to play it, and I said, I don't want to even try that. I mean, yeah, it just, you know, it doesn't even look like fun.
It is frustrating.
Yeah.
It's addictive frustrating, though. Mm-hmm. I will admit that. It's simple enough and hard enough that you don't want to stop. You're like, oh, no, I'll get it this time. It's like one of those carnival games.
Yeah.
Now, here's another quarter. I'll try it again.
Yeah, exactly. Not for me. Let's switch topics to our favorite our favorite TV shows, and I know Joel and I will agree on this one.
My household will too.
The BBC's version of Sherlock Holmes, and by the way, as far as I'm concerned, the BBC version of Sherlock Holmes, which is out right now, the modern day Sherlock Holmes,
mm-hmm.
I say is the best television show ever.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more.
A show.
I have one issue though. One issue.
What's that?
Nobody can type that fast in an iPhone.
Okay. Agree. But this show takes you up, takes you down. You're sitting constantly thinking about it, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to solve the mystery of the show.
Yep.
And they're 90 minutes long, which is neat because it's basically a movie. And they only make three of them a year, but man, it is like, you know, and I know Joel, I know you marathoned it, but my wife and I, we watch it. I got her hooked on it. Matter of fact, I had to watch the first season or the first couple seasons over again. And I didn't mind doing it. I loved watching.
Oh God, no.
Because you see different things, the second time around. And we were watching them I think at most we watched two in a row of the earlier ones, but we found we can only watch one at a time because we're too exhausted at the end of the show. But it is by far, if you have not seen the BBC version of Sherlock Holmes, it's Sherlock. My God, it's a great show. I gotta say, it beats Doctor Who. Hands down.
Can you understand why I haven't seen the latest Star Trek, but can you see why I have a hard time imagining him as a bad guy now?
Trust me. He played Star Trek.
I'm sure he does.
Yes. Fabulously.
Yes. He is Benedict.
My favorite
Cumberbatch.
Actor.
Cumberbatch.
Hands down right now.
Yeah.
My favorite. He has trumped all my... I used to be a huge Mickey Rourke and De Niro, and he has no disrespect to those actors and their fine work, but Benedict Cumberbatch is now my number one favorite actor. And now I'm making a point to go see every movie and every TV show he's ever been in.
I heard that they're going to do a movie about Turing, Alan Turing. Mm-hmm. Is it Alan?
Oh, cool.
And he's starring in it. He's gonna play Alan Turing.
He hates working in Hollywood. I know that. You can watch the YouTube video.
There's a
YouTube video of him being interviewed after he had done Star Trek, and he said, "I absolutely hated it. People are pretentious. They're shallow. They're not." He says he absolutely hated Hollywood with a passion. And if he has his way, under most circumstances, there is no way he will come back to do anything in America's Hollywood, only because of the fact it was such a horrible experience to work in.
Hmm.
And it wasn't because it was difficult. It was because everybody is so vain.
Yeah.
So insincere.
Yeah.
I love your work.
But, yeah, I would even want to see. He did the one on, what the heck's it called? The fifth column? The fourth column? Fifth column? Fifth column? Was it I'm not remembering names right now. What's his name? The WikiLeaks guy. He played him in that, and I even want to see that. You know, he is such a good actor. Oh, and just the whole ensemble for Sherlock. All the actors.
Everyone. Yes. Phenomenal actors. The gentleman who plays, and whose name, and I forgive me because I cannot remember his name, who plays Watson.
Yeah.
What's the actor's name? John Come Watson. On, guys. Help me out here.
I can't remember his name. Quick, Google it. Google it.
Quick.
Joel, Google it. You're good at doing that.
I am. I'm Googling it right now. I was just actually just looking at Flappy Bird.
So. Oh, but yeah, I've got one more episode to watch from this year. And
what? You haven't watched it yet?
No, haven't watched it yet. We watched the second one last weekend. And, well, I watch it with Anne-Marie and, you know, trying to find a time when, you know, we're both watching TV at the same time. Can be.
I'm even worse because all I've seen so far has been what my oldest son and my wife have watched as I've been doing. You know, I've had a real busy year.
Yes, yeah,
so.
yeah.
But as I've been listening to this going, damn, this is good.
Yeah,
I'm going to sit down and do a Netflix-a-thon on this one.
All the episodes or all the series are there on Netflix except for this year's. So, I think. Or was last year's. Are they two behind or just one behind on Netflix?
I think just one.
Martin Freeman.
Yes. Okay. Yes. He's John Watson. And you just got married. At least the episode I just watched was the wedding. And very good. And I like his bride. Although, as my wife has read all the Sherlock Holmes books. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I haven't seen the third one yet. But she goes, oh, she's such a good character, but she's going to die. And I said, what are you talking about? Don't tell me that. How do you know? She goes, because this is following the Sherlock Holmes books. And she dies in Sherlock Holmes books. I said,
don't tell me that. Spoilers.
Well, like I said, she even said they did an excellent job redoing the some of the different storylines from the books.
Right.
So, but yes, that is by far my favorite, hands down, show ever right now.
Yes.
And but a close second or third, I gotta say, season two was released last night on Netflix, and House of Cards is now available on Netflix. And if you haven't watched that,
never watched one episode.
It's a damn good season or get damn good movie series. That's the word I'm looking for. It's Kevin Spacey. Oh, he plays the part so well. And, I look at it and I say, yeah, this really does explain Washington. And I, as I told my wife last night, I only watched two episodes last night, but I did watch the first two episodes, and I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but, I'll just give a general feeling. I said, I finally realized why this show is good. And what it really tells you about Washington and the people in it. The fact that they're elected officials. And the part that they hate the most about their jobs is the election part. It's like, it's such a pain in the ass to go out and get elected. and it seems like, at least in the show, they show it as like, they don't give a shit about
the people
they represent or anything. That has nothing to do with it. It's just this annoyance that comes up every couple of years that they have to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, but if you like, I don't know, I do recommend it. But you really have to start with the first season, last year's season, because it is a story that is going through into the second season, and it's good. It's well written, and what I really love is when Kevin Spacey, who I'm trying to remember his name, the name of his character, Frederick Underwood. Is it Frederick? All I know is his initials are FU, which I thought were pretty interesting. excuse me. He is so good, and I love it when he does these asides in the show. He'll be sitting there talking to somebody, you know, and they'll have the scenes, and he'll be talking to somebody, and then all of a sudden, you know, he'll be talking to somebody, and then he'll go and stare right into the camera, and he'll do an aside there telling you exactly what he's thinking and what he's doing and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes back in, into it, you know, and it's like, oh, that is so cool the way they do that. But no, I do recommend it. It's one of those ones of last year, and I'm trying not to do it this year. Last year, I marathoned a bunch of them because, you know, they put up the whole season and, you know, I could sit there and watch one after the other, but then I'm done until next year. So I'm trying to spread them out a little bit. So last night I had to watch two, and then I forced myself to stop watching after two. But, even the theme for that show is good. I mean, they show shots of DC at mm-hmm. night, and it's kind of like the speeded up cameras looking, you know, you see the lights changing and cars plowing through and all this, and they shoot around, and the music that they use for the theme is like perfect for Washington, and I lived down in the DC area for 14 years, so I know the area, and I said, you know, when I hear that theme music and see this, that is Washington. You know, that really is Washington. They have nailed it. So, yeah. If you got a Netflix account, check it out. It's House of Cards Season 2 is available. And no spoilers from this show.
You're going to get me start watching that.
Yeah, you got to watch Season 1 first, though. I'll do it in order. Huh?
Yeah. I'll do it in order.
Yeah. It's one of those ones you want to sit there and marathon them. You do want to. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, you haven't watched
seen any of them yet.
Oh,
no, yeah, but right. You know, I'm starting to do work on the road again, which I don't want to do, but I need to do.
Yeah.
And I've got the company I'm working for. Yeah, well, I always do.
Yeah.
But the company I'm working for does provide an apartment for me to stay in.
Oh, nice.
So, and they have limited hours that I can be on campus. Normally, when I'm on the road, I'll stay and work as long as I can, but I have to leave.
Okay.
So if I'm going to be there and I've got time in the apartment,
yeah,
that's what laptops are for. So I'll start watching it.
And these are really mm-hmm. good shows. You know, both the BBC or Sherlock and House of Cards. They're both up there. And Joel, I have to tell you, I started watching Black Sails.
And oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't gotten into the third one yet, but so far it's pretty good.
I haven't watched the. I'm still just about ready to watch the first episode.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It hasn't quite caught me totally yet, but you know, maybe after the third show, I might be there. You know, because mm-hmm. right now it's a lot of characters jumbling around and stuff like that, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and they're trying to develop the story and the relationships between all the characters. So, but
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, anyway, okay, so that's our TV talk. Other breaking news that happened this week, and I understand some of the rest of the country actually heard about this too. But we have
it was headline news, man.
Was it? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that because right up the street, I probably live about 5 miles from New Hampshire Ball Bearing Company. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I pass it every day going to work. And last week, we got the word, I guess it was Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday, that there was an explosion there. And, oh, my God, there was like... every freaking town in the area was sent their emergency teams there. There was at least 6 alarms last time. You know, I was listening to the Southwest Mutual, which is the radio service that handles the entire Southwest section of New Hampshire, and just listening to the talk and everything. And I gotta say one thing here though, these guys. You know, they're all volunteers, for one thing. We don't have any professionals in the Southwest. Keene might. I'm not sure whether that's volunteer or not. But all the other towns, they're all volunteers. And they were so professional. They did the job. They got it done. And, you know, I'm proud to live in this area, and I feel extremely safe living in this area, seeing what they did with this major, you know, situation that popped up, and there was like 15 people injured, 2 had to be medevaced out. And I'm also proud of our little Monadnock Community Hospital, which is where I, you know, most of my doctors are, and, because they handled it. They were, I guess what comes after triage, Michael? Because they basically helicoptered to there first, and they kind of stabilized.
Well, triage is stabilizing.
Well, they stabilized them, and then they shipped them off. I think one went to Boston somewhere, and the other one went up to Dartmouth by helicopter. But because the facilities at Monadnock, they can't handle the big stuff, but they certainly were there, and there were, I don't know, 13 or 14 other injuries, and they all went to Monadnock, and they handled
everything. Well, 15 people in any ER short of a major metropolitan area is a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so they did an excellent job, and I just couldn't be prouder for all the volunteers in this area and what they did, and apparently the rumor is it was an acid bath that they used with the ball bearings or whatever, and it blew up. That's all the details we have, how it blew up or why, we don't know yet.
Well, acid and hydrogen. Yeah, hydrogen bad.
Yeah.
Hydrogen bad.
But when you think about, when you hear about an explosion in a ball bearing factory, I mean, that building has the potential of being a giant shrapnel grenade with all the ball bearings and everything inside of it. So, and yet, you know, yes, there were some injuries, but it could have been a lot worse. And you got to think it's because of their safety practices and everything there. So, when I came home from work, of course, this happened about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about 6:30 when I was, I thought really I was going to be rerouted another way and they were going to have Route 202 shut down completely. They didn't. The fire police were out there and they had traffic going back and forth in front of it. Unfortunately, at that time, I couldn't see the building because all the frickin' satellite trucks from all the television coverage for it were lined up in front of the thing. And so you couldn't actually see in. The next morning when I went to work, I went past, and yeah, you could see the leftover, what was going on, and like half the windows on the first floor were blown out, and they were boarded up. They got them boarded up that evening. But yeah, it was a pretty wicked blast. And of course, they had to bring a team in to see if the building was structurally sound. But I understand now that they do have a partial shift working, day shift is working. I don't know whether or not, and they've got all the shifts up and running because they run two, at least two shifts there. They may run three. I don't know. They got at least some of them back. And, I just want to say again, 3 cheers to all the volunteers and everything that.
Absolutely.
Fabulous for such a, yeah, you know, that's one of those things that's going to rank up there in Peterborough history. You know, you have the hurricane of 1938, you have the ice storm of 2008, and we're going to have the ball bearing factory explosion of 2014. Yeah, it's going to be up there in the annals of history for Peterborough. But anyway, okay, so that was the big story here.
Right.
And Michael, you were talking about what's going on with PayPal. I didn't hear about this story.
Yeah.
Well, this was a story I heard on Tom Merritt's program, actually.
Oh,
and if you're not listening to
Daily Tech Show? The Daily Tech Show?
I think that is.
The Daily Tech Show.
Daily News Tech Show or something. Yeah. I'm sorry, Tom. Really, really good, though.
I don't watch that. I don't listen to that other one anymore. I followed Tom over.
Yeah. No, I followed Tom, and I followed Tom again.
Yeah.
So as a side, by the way, getting into Tom Merritt, my wife was listening to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, and she, as we were driving around today doing our ring around with the kids, she goes, "What did Leo ever do to piss off Canada?" I said, "Well, it goes like this." And I said, "I don't know what he was thinking," because and then she knew who Tom Merritt was, and I said, "But you know, not only is that, but he's a PAB alumni,
yes,
and an honorary Canadian. You know, yeah. You don't mess with him,
right?"
But okay, so anyhow, he was covering a leaked email from the current, and I got this in the show notes wrong. It's the president. I just looked it up.
Okay.
But if you click on the link, this is the current president of PayPal. And after reading this, I think last show or maybe it was two shows ago, we were saying, "Oh, fuck Yahoo."
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy sends such an incendiary email to his employees.
Really?
Just berating them. Just and he ends this memo slash email with this. As a matter of fact, it's been brought to my attention that when testing Payne with mobile at Cafeteria 17 last week, some of you refused to install the PayPal app! Exclamation question mark. And others didn't even remember their PayPal password. That's unacceptable to me. And the rest of my team, everyone at PayPal, should use our products when available. And then he says, in closing, if you are one of the folks who refuse to install a PayPal app, or if you can't remember your PayPal password, do yourself a favor. Go find something else that will connect with your heart and mind elsewhere.
Wow.
What an asshole.
Isn't PayPal,
sorry for being frank here, but no. What an asshole.
Isn't PayPal owned by eBay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to use it anymore.
Well,
now while this guy's in charge, wow.
Yeah, the only problem is,
it is secure.
It is secure, and unless Google Wallet, which I think is the only other one that's available out there, becomes more popular, you don't have much other choice other than punching in your frickin' credit card numbers.
Credit card number, right.
Yeah, it's so much easier to hit the PayPal button.
Pay with PayPal.
That way. So, yeah.
But no, I thought I'd share that because that's.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to read that. I did. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. So.
I mean, who's this guy to sit there? I mean, I could sit there and for him to sit there and say, you know, berate people for their, what I choose to put on my personal device is none of your damn business.
And how about make your app appealing enough that you want to put it on?
Right.
I saw
that's the whole point.
I don't have the, I have the PayPal app on my phone, but that's the one so you can access and see your account. But this one where they actually have the thing, like Square or whatever, the PayPal actually has a reader, a card reader and stuff. But,
right.
You know,
right.
I look at it and I'm like, well, how do you use that unless you're a small business and you're taking payments that way?
You can use it to receive payments or send them. I do use Square.
Do you? Oh, and you can send payments to?
Oh, yeah. No, I can walk right into, I mean, it's very limited. It tends to be like coffee shops and stuff.
Okay.
But even up here, Square is in use.
Hmm.
And I can walk into an establishment with my phone, and it recognizes me, and it is, hey, it's me.
Wow. Yeah.
I also have the little reader, so I can plug it into my phone and say, hey, you want to pay me some money? And
yeah.
You want to pay me some money?
Just play Jim Rockford and go, chink.
Well, we always have one day of the week. It's usually the last day of the week, either Thursday or Friday, depending on what week it is. We always have Thai Day, and I always go out and pick up the Thai food, and we are—it's the club is beginning to expand. Sometimes I'm going there and I'm paying $80-$90 for for lunch. And I usually, you know, either
start swiping their cards, man.
Using my ATM, and people pay me cash, but then I got a lot of cash in my pocket, and I was like, why? And most of the time I say, well, it beats going, I don't have to go to an ATM because I always go pick up the Thai food, you know? And, but I was thinking, man, maybe I should get one of those things for people at work here. Oh, I don't have any, you know, cause they're always looking for money to pay cash, and it's like, oh, I got Square or whatever.
Square Reader is free, man.
Yeah. I might have to look into that.
At least I got mine free. I think it still is.
I might have to look into that. So, and then the other thing is, of course, Google Wallet, which I haven't looked into at all. I don't know how that one works. But, and there's some service out there where I think you can actually email people payments. They have some kind of secure way of doing it via email. And I forget the name of that one. So, I don't know. I might have to do some investigation. And maybe we'll cover the different types of payment things out there. Because, yeah, money is disappearing.
Yep.
And,
well, yes, and I don't want it to. I prefer to pay with cash because you're anonymous.
Yep.
You don't need, you know, a lot of times when I want to, you know, when I go to Radio Shack, I resent the fact, what's your name? Phil Donahue. Where do you live? Walla Walla, Washington. You know, and it's like, what's your zip code? 12345. What the hell difference does that make if I'm here to buy a 3.5 millimeter jack? Do you need all that information for? What's your email address? Phil Dolly, you know, Phil Leibowitz at gofuckyourself.com. Okay, that's what my email address is. Because I'm not telling you, here's your $3, give me my shit. And that's how I personally feel about it.
Do they still do that?
They still do that, yes, they do. Unfortunately, yes, I don't like that either. And that's the same thing with all those little shopper cards and stuff that you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it's nice, and you do get discounts. We use the one at our pharmacy because we do get a considerable discount on products after, because we go there for our prescriptions all the time, and so we use it all the time. But they are tracking what you're buying. That's the whole reason why you've got them, so they can, you know, they say, oh, look, you bought all this in. And you're the person that bought this.
Yes, exactly. That's what you know, and honestly, you know, rather than be rude about it, which, I mean, I just, the last bit I said for, you know, for comedy relief, but honestly, what's your name? And I'll look at the bill that I have in my hand, Andrew Jackson. That's what you're going to get. Realistically, I don't want you necessarily tracking what days I buy Twinkies, because, I mean, honest to God, what'll break down to, and I know it sounds paranoid, but with universal health care, they're going to say, okay, anybody who buys Edamons, Tasty Cakes, Little Debbie's, Twinkies, or Hostess Cupcakes, if you buy those more than 3 times in a year, well, you're purposely making yourself fat, which is going to make health insurance prices go up, so we're going to charge you more.
Yeah.
If you buy pipe tobacco or go to a cigar shop and buy a couple of good cigars more than one time a year, well, you're contributing to lung cancer, so therefore we're not going to cover you in the event you have any upper respiratory infections.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went and bought Oreo cookies, cereal that has sugar, the ones on our list that we deem that aren't good for you, whole milk rather than skim, well, we're going to charge you more because of this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, screw you. You don't need to know who I am and what I'm buying. What's my name? Cash.
Well, you know, John Dvorak is right there with you, but what he does is he says, you know, if you keep saying, every time he goes up to the cash register, when he checks out, he goes, oh, I forgot my card at home. The girl behind the counter pulls the courtesy card out and swipes that instead.
Yep.
He borrows a card from somebody next to him in line. He never uses his own card.
Right. Let's see, at least in
the customer card, yeah.
Our drugstore, our pharmacy, the way it works is if you don't have your card with you, because I don't carry a handful of those cards.
Put your phone number in.
Yeah, you just have to punch your phone number in, and it's,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the only place we do it is at the pharmacy. That's probably the worst place to do it. Well, no, because
exactly.
all we're doing is buying drugs there, so.
You know, what drugs did you buy in, and as far as and what medications did you get filled there?
Yeah, but that's okay because they already have that information.
True.
So, you know, but yeah, I guess you're right. But I don't know. I'm just you know, the progressive part of me, and I don't use that in the normal. The progressive part of me likes seeing technology being used. But yes, I also understand, that it can be, you can be tracked through
that. And you are being tracked.
Yes.
It's not you can be, you are be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, pretty soon, you know, well, that was the whole thing with RFIs too. They were afraid that, you know, with RFIs and all the products and everything, you could just go through, you know, as you're leaving the store, all your stuff would get registered and, you know, if they put an RFI in, like, your driver's license, and then they'd say, oh, you just bought all this stuff.
Yep. You know? Exactly. Well, I mean, it's happening with your cell phone anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
They track where you go, mm-hmm. so they know what stores you're going to, mm-hmm. what you look at on the internet, mm-hmm. What you buy off of eBay or Amazon, mm-hmm. or any other place for that matter. So it's already, the databases are already, you know, well established.
Yeah, that's why I think so, it's funny when people are all upset about NSA tracking them, because Google knows far more. Oh, but I volunteer that information. Really? Do you really volunteer that information?
You want to know how you're not going to have your information tracked and sent around on your cell phone? Don't use a cell phone.
Don't use the cell phone. Cut off electricity. Go live in a cabin in the woods. And guess what? They still have the capability of tracking you. So, you know.
Just ask Bin Laden.
Yeah, yeah. That's true, Bin Laden. Yeah.
Well, if you could.
Yeah. But no, they still have a way of tracking you, and they can get pictures of you and everything else.
So, take the battery out when you're not using it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. They can't turn it on remotely if it hasn't got any juice.
They can track you. They don't
Faraday cage.
You don't need any.
Yeah.
You don't need any electronic device on you. They can still track you.
Oh yeah. I mean, let's face it. There's enough cameras that they can just basically look. You draw what's called draw a grid, so you're trying to find a recognition for a face That's type right. or a body type.
Right.
But you have to have some serious resources to go to that extent. You really must be on somebody's radar if they're going to that trouble.
Yeah.
Google doesn't do that.
Well, I don't know about that because the system's behind the cameras. All you have to do is have all the cameras
Full
there.
Battery.
And no, I'm not talking about your camera. I'm talking about all the cameras that are out there. Public cameras.
More than that.
And security cameras and everything that. You just need the sophisticated software behind them to sit there and constantly be monitoring every single damn camera that's out there.
Actually, do you guys watch the TV show Almost Human?
No, I haven't watched that, but I do watch Person of Interest.
I've heard about it.
I used to watch Person
it's
of Interest.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And Almost Human, the opening scene in that TV program is that where government and police try to regulate the growth of technology, and technology outgrew what they could regulate. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they have in the opening credits of that show is an electronic device that if you walk in front of a camera, any camera,
yeah,
it scrambles and puts a light globe around your head that cannot be seen through by anything that has a lens.
Hmm.
So if you walk into an area, it's like having a mask on in any room that has a camera. And, you know, it was just one of their examples in the TV show. And I'm like, you know what? There's something there.
It's called a modulated pulsed infrared emitter.
There you go. But it only did.
No, I've never thought about it at all. No.
Exactly. It does their face and head. So you cannot get a digital image of what's from the neck.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, no, wait a minute. Are you there? I think he... No, he's not talking.
Oh, he froze up. Oh, you know why.
Because he was big. Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't be surprised if black helicopters were circling his house as we speak. You notice I remained silent during that conversation.
Joel, we know you're in there.
Joel. I'm out with your hands up.
Oh, he's gone.
Still there.
Yeah, and the NSA kicked me out.
Okay. Well, your old one's still there. He's just not talking.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, it's still
there's two of you. Yeah. One's talking, one's not.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, now he's gone. They got the door open.
We were painting the picture of black helicopters surrounding your house, circling your house, and people coming through the windows and in your doorway. Uh-oh. Did he freeze again?
He's not moving again.
Oh, no. He's got Barty-itis. This always happens to Barty. There he is. He's back.
Yeah.
Okay.
My
don't mention it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say those three little letters. Every time I say those three little letters, I got to re-sign in.
Do you remember that Discultured episode?
Mm-hmm.
Every time they brought it off, it would crash down.
I remember when Anthony had said that. Every time he mentioned those three magic letters, bang, they had a problem with the connection.
I don't want to say anything, guys, but, you know.
No, I know you can.
You can, but.
30 years ago, I did sign a paper.
Yeah. So that's why you're not saying anything.
And, They do have the right to monitor all my ins and outs, and so
yes, I realize. Hopefully, they're enjoying the show.
I heard it's the number one. Best, yeah. I heard it's the number one podcast
at headquarters
in Fort Meade, Maryland.
You can't say that.
It's us.
Oh, everybody knows the NSA is at Fort Meade. Yeah, you can Google that one.
Yeah. So. Yep, okay. Well, we should probably switch topics now and go to a new edition of Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and I'm here, as well as Michael, to tell you some stories about our automobile vehicular woes. Michael, would you like to open?
Well, I can do that. I just wanted you to do the intro, since that this is your segment. Yeah. I had a special day last Sunday. It started out Saturday night, actually, where my oldest son said, well, actually, I'm going to spend the night another night here in Kearsarge. I'm like, well, okay, fine. And then it wasn't Kearsarge. It was Lake Linden. But, you know, up here in the Upper Peninsula. And then I get the word that he needs to be picked up at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday. Hmm. Well, I already have class. I've got firefighting class. And but that doesn't start till 9.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, great. For the umpteenth Sunday in a row, I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday. So I get up, and I get everything together and feed the animals and fire up the Jeep, who was especially noisy that morning. I think it was about 10 below. So what else is new? And I wait a little bit and start, you know, rattling down the road, literally. And I was thinking about starting a podcast, actually, and I was listening to something else, and check engine light comes on. Well, that's nothing new either, and the current condition of the Jeep. And I'm just kind of, you know, bopping down the road and the covered road at this point, and something happens that I've never seen happen before. The check engine light starts flashing rather insistently at me, you know, like, whoa, this is something new. I haven't seen this in 13 years. I wonder what it means. Well, I just get out of the covered road, and you really can't make any time on the covered road, especially this time of year. It's very right. narrow. It's very snowy. Every turn could have a tree down in front of you. which has happened many times this winter. So I'm cautious, and I get to the point where, okay, I can get up to about 45, 50. And I put my foot on the accelerator, and instead of speeding up, the whole Jeep goes, and I can tell I'm missing multiple cylinders.
Ooh.
Like, oh, this isn't good. And I find that I can't do more than 45 miles an hour on a level straightaway. And it's getting worse. And it's flashing more insistently. And like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. It's like 10 below out. And I'm going into an area. There's an area along the top of the ridge where if it's 5 below on the harbor, it'll be 15 to 20 below on the ridge.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going into this area. It's at this point, it's about 6:30 in the morning. I know there's nobody out on a Sunday morning. I don't want to break down. Now, I've got my radios with me. I could call if I need to, but it's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to make this inconvenient for anybody. Plus, I know which crews I'm going to pull out. We only have so many emergency crews.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pull them out for me being broke down on my Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, true to itself, the Jeep has never stranded me. It's limped along. It's been the Enterprise on, you know, 1.5 impulse, but it's gotten me. I go through the valley, which is the coldest spot in the two-county area up here. It's near a place called Phoenix, Michigan. And you go down in this dip where these two ridges meet, and the temperature can drop like 15, 20 degrees. And I'm climbing up the steep hill, and I'm doing 15 miles an hour, and the whole Jeep is shaking, and it's banging, and it's, oh. And if I try to push it too hard, the engine just stops. You know,
right.
And then starts up again, like, oh, well, we won't do that again.
We won't do that.
Keep going, you know. So we kind of creep up the hill. I get up over the crest, and then, you know, back up to 35 miles an hour. Woohoo! So to put things in perspective, when I first realized I really had a problem, I was still 30 miles out.
Wow.
Now, are isolated up here.
Did you contemplate having to drop the cores and exploding them behind you? So you pushed into town?
I was thinking about it. Yeah. I was thinking about Spock cross-circuiting the Circuit B there. But, I'm up at this point. It's well past. You know, by the time I get to Phoenix, it's obvious I'm not going to make the 7:30 deadline. Mm-hmm. So I pull over. I text. At this point, I actually have cell phone coverage by the time I get to Phoenix. I text my son and say, we got some engine problems here. I'm going to be a bit late. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, where my son was only about maybe a quarter mile from my class. But my plan had been there to get there early enough where I could bop him over to the Mercy EMS station,
mm-hmm.
set him up in the spare bedroom, which has got 20 meg internet and, you know, mm-hmm. something, you know, it'd be comfortable for him to hang out, have facilities, have good internet. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, we're going to maybe make it to the school in time for me to go to class at 9.
Right.
And the poor kid, he sat there for 6 hours of firefighting class.
Oh.
But the Jeep got me there, okay?
Right.
There's actually a part of the story you guys don't know about yet. So I wait. You know, it's early. We do get there a little early. I do some homework. I had planned on dropping him off and doing some serious homework. But mm-hmm. we get there early enough. I tell the instructor what's going on. He goes, well, you know, you can take my vehicle. I said, no, if I take him to the EMS station now, I'm going to be back late. And I just... No, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the vending machine, buy him a couple of Pop-Tarts. Great father that I am.
Here, son, have a Pop-Tart.
Set him up with my... Boy, 17. I mean, you know, here's your options. Here's some Pop-Tarts and my iPhone. You know?
Pop-Tarts, iPhone, and a Coke. Yeah. Have fun.
I proceed to deal with my class. As it gets later on Sunday morning, where it's a little more appropriate, I call my wife and said, "Hey, you know, talking about the Jeep engine finally crapping out. Well, I think."
Guess what?
How do you feel like coming to town with the truck and picking us up? Well, you know, between the point where I pick up my son and where I have the firefighting class is literally 4 blocks from my favorite mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So we get through the class. I'm tired. My son is exhausted. My wife shows up just, you know, right on time with the truck, the family truckster.
Mm-hmm.
I pull the Jeep around the corner, and normally I park it in the side lot next to my mechanic so that, I mean, he owns his lot, but so it's out of his way. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this, and I just got this bad feeling. It's like, no, I mean, I could put it in here, but I don't want to make it an inconvenience for him. And I'll go around the block, see if there's a spot in front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
There never is a spot in front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one. So I pull in, I throw the key in the center console, and my wife, you know, when I get in the truck, my wife goes, well, did you put the key in the slot? And I said, well, I didn't have an envelope. And she goes, what'd you do? I said, I put it in the center console. Mm-hmm. And she looks at me, I said, if somebody steals it, they're not going to get very far. It's the yeah, engine
maybe,
down.
Maybe a block.
What I didn't mention in the podcast, and what I found out the next day when I came back as they were working on it, is I start to pull into the side lot to keep. We come in with my wife's truck the second time. Well, mm-hmm. there's more to the wife's truck
story.
More
story coming.
But there's more story coming. It gets better. It keeps getting better. But, you know, I pull into the side lot to stay out of the way, and I can't because there's yellow tape everywhere. The building next to the side lot where I was about to park that night mm-hmm. or that afternoon burned down that night.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow.
If I had parked the Jeep there,
you wouldn't have a
with
Jeep.
Soft top, I wouldn't have a Jeep.
That wasn't homework.
There still is a frame of a building there, but I'm sorry?
That wasn't homework for you, was it?
No.
Firefighting
some
class.
Of my,
that
some
you
of
just
my
didn't
fellow
do?
Class members were there, though. No, 15 below zero on
oh
fire.
Oh, God.
It's nasty.
I mean, the water comes out of the hose and freezes.
It freezes in midair.
There were issues. There definitely were issues. And we've had a number of fires up here because of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
People are using auxiliary heat and stuff's
yep.
going wrong.
Yep.
Sometimes we're having a house fire like a day in the wow. two-county area.
Mm.
So anyhow, Jeep's got a problem. I happen to park in the right spot. My wife picks us up. We're like, okay, I just want to go home. We get to Phoenix, and I'm shot. My wife's driving. I'm kind of bopping around with the iPhone. And my wife goes, I've never seen this light come on before. This is not what I want to hear.
The unique shade of red.
And I look over, and yes, there's a red light on, and it says check gauges. And I look over, and I'm like, oh.
Right there.
The voltmeter is reading nothing. That's not good. It's like, well, either we've lost the charging system or we lost the serpentine belt. So there's a general store in Phoenix, so I have her pull over at the general store, and I said, do not shut it off.
Yeah, really?
Whatever you do, do not shut it down. And I popped the hood, and sure enough, the belt's still there. It's still cooling. I'm like, well, that's good. Well, I just replaced both of these batteries last year. Mm-hmm. We've only got 22 miles to go, and the engine's already warmed up. So the issue with the diesel is, first of all, starting it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a significant draw. That's why I've got two batteries.
Right.
Being a turbo diesel, there is an air preheater for the first 5 minutes that draws tremendous current. Mm-hmm. It's actually heating the air coming into the engine.
Mm-hmm.
But the engine was already warm.
Right. So that's not running right now.
And I had just checked out a wind generator in the Jeep, and I grabbed everything out of the Jeep, so I actually had a digital voltmeter with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw the voltmeter across both batteries, and they're reading 12.5 volts. And I said, all right, we're going to make a run for it because it's Sunday afternoon. There's no place that could work in this place, you know, in this truck
right.
anyhow. So
we
drove home, threw the battery charger on as soon as I got home, but both vehicles in one day.
Jeez.
Oh, geez. It's not even a holiday.
Oh,
I'm not aware of.
well,
so I called them up the next morning. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, it was Valentine's Day this past Friday.
Well, this week, yeah.
Oh, this week.
That was a week away.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I called up my mechanic in the morning. And said, you're going to find my Jeep under your driveway. Yeah, we noticed that. Like, well, this is what happened. Oh, I figured it was going to happen eventually. And I said, and by the way, on the way home. Oh, really?
Well, that one's a little easier to fix,
so
right?
So it's... Yeah, well, a little. on the truck, it's actually a three-piece system.
Oh, really?
And most vehicles today, it's, you know, it's the alternator, the regulator, everything's built into one unit.
Yeah.
The Cummins diesel, the alternator really is just an alternator.
Mm.
The charging and regulation system is in the central computer.
Okay.
And then there's separate temperature sensors and both batteries. And it charges the batteries to temperature, not to voltage.
Oh, okay. That's so I didn't know that.
It's a pretty sophisticated system, but it's a complicated system. And it's expensive. The alternator rebuilt was $220.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's from the guys that are really cheap.
All right. That's an outrage.
So I went through between that and the Jeep, and the Jeep is just pieced together again, but bless these guys, they keep piecing it together.
They put it together again? How?
Well, it's got issues, but they put it together. They're like, you know, are we looking for an engine yet? And I said, with the month I've had, no. Or like, well, you're down two cylinders, and the reason why, you know, the problem is you're sucking so much antifreeze now, you're fouling the plugs, mm-hmm. and that's the least of your problems with this engine. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Oh, by the way, when's the last time you checked the oil? I said, last week. Well, you were down to a quart and a half.
Ouch.
I wasn't down a quart and a half. I was down to
a quart and a half. Out of five.
Yeah, that's a lot of oil.
So they worked on it for 3 days. The total bill was $125, bless you guys.
Oh, geez.
For the truck. Wow. Or for the Jeep, I mean. The truck was more expensive.
Oh, wow.
And I walk in there, by the way. I'm sorry, this is turning into a Shaggy Dog story, but I walk in there and I said, you know, it is February. And they're like, yeah. I said, you guys never sent me a bill for the last time I was in here in September. And they look at each other and I said, remember you got me in on the weekend? I had a 3,000-mile trip to make over like 3 weeks. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What did we do? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, I've got this, you know, they pay for all their stuff up front themselves.
Yeah.
And they're like, I've had this receipt sitting around on my desk for the last, you know, 5 months now. It's for me.
You know,
so I paid for another $300 of the work that they had forgotten they did.
Just on the kind of work they do and everything like that, it might be worth my while to bring my car to them.
They are awesome. And by the way, you know, I was looking, I looked them up for another reason, mm-hmm. and they are actually listed and reviewed by Car Talk.
Really?
Really?
And they have a 5-star rating with Car Talk.
Wow.
You betcha they do. These guys they're honest, they're good, I can't fix my vehicle. I can't buy the parts for what they charge me.
Jeez.
I mean, parts and labor are less than what I can buy parts for.
Yeah. Wow.
God. And I think that's because they're actually an auto value dealer too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they get the wholesale cost and they pass that on to the customer. They don't charge for they don't mark up their parts.
God.
Right.
My God bless them. My dealer, you know, you drive the car into their sophisticated little entranceway, you know, the garage doors go up, you drive it in and you leave it there and that's $900 right there.
Right. Well, again, Cummins diesel pickup truck, when they replaced the clutch and pressure plate, and towing, mm-hmm. 35 miles towing, the total bill was $400.
You can't even take the tranny out for that.
I couldn't buy anywhere. The parts. I couldn't buy the clutch and pressure plate for that. So anyhow, that's my story from my neck of the woods. But Joel, I had to have you do the intro.
Honest to God, I'm still so blown away just at that last comment alone that you said. For a clutch job, I don't care what it is. Sure, you're doing it yourself. You go to a shop, it's a minimum for $500 just to take it out.
Yep.
Then you've got the parts and the labor to put the new clutch and pressure plate in. Then it's $500 to put the transmission back in.
And you know, the transmission in my wife's truck weighs more than most engines.
Yeah, because it's got the transfer case piggybacked off the back of it.
Huh.
My starter motor is bigger than some import cars' engines are. So I'm not kidding. Geez.
That's incredible. Oh, it's so you're back at a point now where both the family truckster and the Jeepster are running.
Yeah, there's no guarantees on the Jeep, but right now it is running.
You know, that's riding on borrowed time.
Actually, that's been riding on borrowed time for the last year.
It's a zombie Jeep at this point, but it's a good zombie.
Until it gets a heart transplant.
Yeah, it's going to get one eventually, but it's right, just, not it's, in the cards
right
now.
What? I hear you, because with Wilson, it's the same. It's like I got a major job, intake manifold gaskets. You got to pull the top half of the motor off, the plenum, and I just need it to make it to spring. Then I'll have the money freed up to do it.
Same here.
You know, it's and honestly, it's like, okay, well, I'm fouling out a set of plugs every, well, last set lasted 6.5 months. So I put a new set in, and if I get 3 months out of them, that's more than enough time. That's the time that I need. And then I'll foul them out and do the work and put a new set in.
Yep.
But, which leads me into, that's
Wilson.
How things were. Wilson, yeah, Wilson. Which had, Wilson had him, was involved in a fender bender. Yesterday of all
altercation.
Yes, exactly. A sheet metal altercation. Or shall I say sheet metal versus plastic, and Wilson won. low speed, no injuries, no problems. True, honest to God, by definition, fender bender. On my front driver's side quarter panel before the front tire. And yes, my car is so big and so old that there's actually sheet metal before the front tire. About 2 feet of sheet metal before the tire even get to the tire, moving from front to back. And yeah, it did okay. The other little plastic car that was there is an import, decent little cars. Let's just say they're not embellishing when they say they're designed to crush. Because, boy, oh boy, did this thing crush. It didn't crush so much as, well, let's just say lots of little bits cracked and were hanging off. I had a dent and a little bit of a paint transfer, and one light popped out that I popped back in. Hmm. It needs a sheet metal screw, and this one had bits hanging all off of it.
Oh,
I drove away. The cop looked at my car, and he went, that's it. I'm like, yeah, some paint transfer and a minor dent. And he went, and he looked at the other one. And he went, huh. I said, yeah. And he said, well, the other, in the infinite wisdom of things, he had said, well, that other car that was involved in the incident was missing a headlight. So they're automatically at fault.
Really?
They're operating a vehicle. Operating a vehicle in an unsafe mode without all of its lights operational. And so subsequently, because I remember someone saying to the cop, I never saw the damn car.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where the hell it came out of because it's because it had a black car in the middle of the night with no headlights.
Jeez.
So, it was a unique set of circumstances, to say the very least. So.
Wow.
But yeah, he's okay. Drives fine. I'm going to have to put tomorrow I'll go outside when it comes time to do the snow blowing of the driveway again. And, you know, I'll put a little goop around the marker turn signal light, keep that in place, and that's, you know, looks like I'm going to be replacing a fender in spring. But that was it for him.
Can you bang it out, or is it you're going to have to?
You know what? I don't even bother banging them out because, quite frankly, it's a pain in the ass. I hate doing body work, by the way, and I'm lousy at it. Absolutely hard.
So it'd be easier just unbolt it and unbolt it and
bang it out.
The finish work takes forever.
It does. So once if I'm at a point where I'm taking the fender off, I'm replacing it with a new one. I won't bother banging it out and putting it on unless it's a part that I cannot get.
Yeah.
I'll just replace it. Weld in something new.
Well,
hey, fellas, can you excuse me for a second?
No.
Oh, absolutely.
Alrighty.
You notice I stepped out for a second.
Okay.
He just muted, though.
Oh, he did mute his mic. That's good. Well, and by the way, thank you, Michael. I think you looked it up. The song that we were singing and we didn't know who it was.
Yes.
It was the Fifth Beatle, Billy Preston. Nothing from Nothing. And now that you wrote that down, I said, yes, that's who it was. It's Billy Preston.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was thinking somebody else, you know, but yeah, you're right. I looked it up.
Yeah. And incidentally, that's another story. Last Sunday night, of course, they had it was the 50th anniversary of the Beatles being on Ed Sullivan's show, and I watched it, and it was good, and I really enjoyed it. And the reason I watched it was because I do remember watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan back in 1964. And yes, I was a little bit young. I was 5 going on 6 at the time. But I had I had two teenage sisters who were absolutely Beatlemanias.
I actually saw it myself.
Yeah. It was a good
show. But it wasn't... Yeah, it was... I mean, I still remember it. But it wasn't because I had, you know, older siblings that were Beatlemaniacs. It was because I had parents and grandparents that watched the Ed Sullivan show no matter what. So
that is also true. We watched Ed Sullivan every Sunday night. But that particular show was memorable to me because my sisters were there. They're screaming in the living room. One had an Kodak Instamatic camera trying to take pictures of the black and white television set while they were on. You know? And so it was one of those memories that I do remember when I was a little kid. And, it was fun watching them again 50 years later. And I gotta say, I agree with a couple other people that said, man, Ringo, he was bouncing all over that stage, and you think he's 73 years old now, but he was just jumping all over that stage and having a good time. It was cool. It was a good show. It was fun to watch, and I'm glad that Paul and Ringo decided to get together and play for the 50th anniversary, because that's the first time I believe they've gotten together.
Cool. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was at the end of the show. So, yes, it was a good show. I think we're out of topics. We do have a musical guest tonight, and it's not Billy
Preston. Yeah, but Joel's not back yet, though.
Well, I know. Well, I'm trying to...
Bueller?
Yes, extend this out
Bueller?
A little. So he makes the end of the show. I thought we'd talk about the musical guest, who is a group called Convus, and their song Spider and the Fly, which I know Joel's going to especially like because it's kind of a little more heavy metal this time out usual stuff I play. So I think he'll enjoy this one.
By the way, I've got to apologize, especially to our listeners. After going back, you know, I do listen to all our shows, and the last couple of shows where the time delay has been so god-awful.
Oh, that's not your problem, though.
I can hear me interrupting you, and I'm like, oh, God, this sounds like I'm just being a complete jerk.
I didn't even hear you. I think everybody realizes what's going on there. I mean, when you're dealing with a 2, sometimes 3-second delay, it's very difficult to, you know, cause you're trying to keep the show flowing and trying not to let those delays interrupt you. So it's, you know, that was a challenging show to do. And, this show has been much better and you've been flawless throughout the entire show, including your video. So.
No, I'm glad I mentioned something to them about it because they did reset the routers, and I think we got a firmware issue up on the KML tower where I spent all my time last fall, because it wasn't even alarming. I told them, I said, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and they looked at it and went, oh yeah, let's reboot this. But that sounds like a memory leak to me, so
yeah.
it's called, in the industry, a managed router. Well, it's not managing too well, so.
It's an unmanageable.
But it's not easy to get to right now.
Come on.
Firmware update.
Yeah, come on. Just take the family truckster up.
Yeah.
Oh, no, one of the sleds up there. You know, climb the tower at, -35 with...
or a snowshoe.
With 40-mile-an-hour winds. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, soon it will be...
I get enough of that.
Yeah, soon it will...
Well, maybe for you. It's the middle of winter when it frosts again.
Soon it will be spring. You'll be down to 19 feet of snow.
One thing with Lake Superior freezing over is that it has slowed it down a little bit. We're still, even with not much happening, and, you know, we've had a couple of feet, but not much happening for us. That's a couple of feet in the last 2 weeks. We're still like 60, 70 inches ahead of last year, which was one of those record years. And as we got months left. I mean, it'll be Memorial Day before it stops snowing up here.
Yeah. I don't know whether Joel's going to make it back in time. I got a text from him. I think we should probably end the show.
No,
we'll,
okay.
We'll just let that. We'll let our listeners figure out what's going on there.
All right.
Something about a horse. okay, so we're gonna, because we're running long here. So I wanted to. I don't want to become a no agenda show where we go on for 3 hours.
Holy cow, it's 2 hours, isn't it?
Yes. There's some pre-show
close.
There, but it's close
yeah,
to three.
Yeah.
By the time the song's done and everything, it'll be 3 hours probably, so.
No, two. Two.
Or 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours, yeah. Well, that's a long song. All right, so that we're
now for the complete cast of Tommy.
Yeah, really. Again, our musical guest is
the pot safe version of The Wall.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
And I said Convus before. I'm sorry. It's an R. It's Corvus. I can't even read. God, these old eyes. So Corvus with Spider and the Fly is up next. But before we hear our musical guest, we always end with thanking our military members, both CONUS and OCONUS. And thank you very much for what you do. And, you know, especially you guys, OCONUS, we hope you get back home to your family and friends as soon as possible. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. And speaking of which, I heard some interesting news on Facebook. My old group in Misawa, Japan, I was stationed there for 3 years, and what used to be the 6920th ESG, which I think now is the 301st, it's a squadron now, we heard rumors that they're moving them to Elmendorf, Alaska, which means that part of the service is leaving Misawa for the first time since the 50s. I mean, it's done. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be stuff there that's automated, but, yeah, that's a shocker. No more security service, or what we used to call the ESC, Electronic Security Command. I don't know what they call it now. It's changed names several times. It's leaving Misawa. So, interesting. So,
They're subcontracting it out to India.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Hello, I am private first class. Wrong terminology.
Yeah.
How may I be relaying your message today?
Wow. I don't know. Elmendorf. Well, Barty could probably talk to us about that. I don't know whether he was stationed there or not, or I forget where he was stationed in Alaska. But
I'm sure he talked to him.
Yeah. We'll get him back on the show here one of these weeks. So, all right. Yeah. Well, that's going to be it for show 128, 129, hopefully next week. From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry. Oh, here's Joel. Joel. Okay. And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, he's Joel.
Virtual Joel.
Virtual Joel. The virtual Joel.
And and saying hi to my Canadian friends, who most of them are 100 miles south of me. I'm Michael, the virtual Uber in Copper Harbor.
And we'll see.
Be safe, all.
Yes, and we'll see you next week. That's it for show 128, 129 next week. Here's Corvus. Samson, speak. Good boy.